All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Everybody.
Okay, I think we finally got our video working, week two, so we'll see how this goes.
Yes, I do apologize for my lighting. I'm still working on, I don't know, professional lighting. We're not professionals by any means, so I'm just found a spot in my house that looked the best, I thought. So here I am, sitting on my living room floor, my formal living room, not even my comfortable one.
I mean, your formal living room is great, so it's fine. It's
Thank
fine.
You. I'm looking back at my chairs right now and thinking, my mom's going to say, you should have turned your chairs. I'm not going to do that. It's fine.
We would have loved to be a little more put together, I feel like, for our first video feed, but
yes,
there was a hurricane and we both didn't have power up until what, like 30 minutes ago or something
about,
crazy,
I
like all day.
Ended up getting power this afternoon, so I still had to sign on to work, which was fine, but and I was gonna do my hair for the last 30 minutes or I was gonna stitch for 30 minutes, and I chose to stitch, so I think everybody listening would probably agree with me.
That.
Yes.
I chose pouring a cocktail. This Prosecco yes. was much needed after being cheers. In a house with no power. Cheers with a four-year-old all day. Everyone was sweaty. Everyone was cranky.
Yeah. So you're in the low country. So it's
nice better
and,
now.
Nice and humid down there. It was humid here too in the Midlands.
Yeah. So
a little we hope everybody who was in the Helene's path is
yes.
happy and safe. And if you don't have power yet, I hope you get it soon. And I hope all the LNSs survived and y'all open up again real soon. Cause I know mine closed today, which is totally understandable because the roads were not
yeah,
great.
I think ours is actually open, but the island fared pretty well. So
nice.
That's
yeah.
good. But yeah, I hope everyone.
Yeah, surprisingly, the mountains safe. Did not. The beach did okay and the mountains did not this time around.
Oh,
so.
Well, we're thinking about everyone. So
yes, of course.
And speaking of everyone, thank you all so much for your support this week. When we launched our first episode, I'm about to be really self-conscious about my facial expressions. between launching our first podcast episode and my designs being on market for the first time, I have had the worst imposter syndrome this week. So
no, I know.
Let's see.
Same here.
I'm just gonna keep
with
going.
Podcast. I didn't design anything. So, but yeah, it's been a fun, not even a whirlwind, but it's just been fun to hear everybody's feedback. We got good and okay feedback, which I did appreciate because
right.
we can work
right.
on everything. And we're just really excited to keep this one going. And I hope everybody on their commute or if they're stitching or sitting at work or waiting for a play date to start, I don't know. We hope y'all continue to listen and watch and then just enjoy.
Yeah. Again, sincerely appreciate the great response. Everyone was so kind and yes, constructive feedback, but we really love that you guys felt like you were sitting and hanging out at Stitch Club with your friends. That was really the goal. And that's what we
yes,
hope to continue.
That's the ultimate goal, is to just have everybody feel like they're just hanging out. and right. just enjoy. And when you can't make it to Stitch Club, you can just at least turn one on and stitch away if you'd like.
Yeah. Speaking of stitching, what are you working on right now? And did you get any time to stitch besides 30 minutes today?
Well, I didn't get as much to stitch as I wanted as my Penny Lin whip bag. I love it. I am still working on my first Squatty Santa. That was my grandmother's. I'm making one for each of my family members. So my husband, my son, and me. This one's mine because I was starting to, and okay, yes, I am trying to do the outline. highly recommend disappearing ink to everybody because I'm not so great at this part. So the purple will disappear, but the blue will stay, and it's going to be oddly shaped. Yeah, he's fine. He'll be fine.
Oh, you got the frame locks. This has nothing to do with the canvas. Yes. But you got the frame locks. Do you like them?
I really like them because I also do my stretcher bars. We'll get to this, but I do my stretcher bars kind of different. I think the majority does them with the canvas on top. But I realized that when I stitch, I actually hold on to the canvas really tight and I push down really hard. So it's best if I'm just pushing down on the stretcher bars and not touching the canvas as much. So right now I'm thinking of a background color for him, and I will be doing turkey work all along his coat cuffs and his hat, hopefully this weekend. So we'll see.
That's going to look so cute.
I'm
so
excited. Cute. I have to go to my store and get the purple that I want because I don't have it here. So I did not get to stitch as much as I wanted to this week because of work and children and doctor's appointments. So hopefully this weekend. So we'll see.
Yes, I hear that. I didn't get as much time as I wanted to either, but hopefully this weekend. Although tomorrow we're going to a beer fest. And
that sounds like fun.
On Sunday, we're going to a Savannah Bananas game. So not a lot of stitching time this weekend.
Oh, that's right. You told me about that.
My daughter is going to have a lot of fun. And we're taking my nephew and their besties. So it'll be great.
A lot of fun kid time.
Yes. I'm going to try and show. I'm going to cover the letter because this is a gift. But this is one of the Abigail Cecil charts.
Oh, her rounds. Okay, yeah.
Being like. Sorry, this is weird, but I don't want anyone to see. I am trying to sew on my cording for the first time. Bravest girl in the world over here. I have never sewed on my cording. I've always glued it, which I know.
Wow, really?
Don't come for me.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
It's just, no matter what anyone tells me, the like sewing the cording through is so different to me than stitching. Like, they are not the same, and I have been scared of it. So I already had to rip it off once. And we're going to try again this weekend.
Okay. I'm excited for you. That looks, the cording is really, well, how many strands of, do you use DMC?
I use DMC.
Five or three? The thicker one or the thinner one?
The thinner one, five.
Five, okay. It looks good.
So it could be tighter, but it's been sitting here for a couple days. So I might try and reattach it to the laces and spin her back up. But I also... I'm just adding a quick little border to this little pumpkin.
Cute little pumpkin.
This pumpkin is from Saturnalia, and last Halloween, maybe, I think, she was doing a free little pumpkin canvas with a purchase. And
oh, so had to make a purchase.
I love a free gift.
I know you do.
I will do anything for a free gift. I had to buy a canvas so I could get the Penny Lin scissors.
Okay, whatever. I did that too.
I just bought a new canvas from Mopsy Designs last night because she's doing a free gift until October 1st. And so she might even throw her sparkle bags in there as one of them, like her glitter.
Ooh, a project good project bag, always.
So it's random, but I'll take my chances because, again, I love a free gift. But this, I had to bust this out on the first day of fall this year because it's so cute, and it was such a quick little stitch. Just came up, stitched together real quickly. I'm just adding like a white, one white row around so I can tuck it in for finishing and not have to tuck in part of my pumpkin.
Are you planning on finishing it?
I actually might make this into a magnet.
That's a cute idea.
It's very small. It's
teeny, yeah.
See, this is my finger for scale. So he's very small. So I think it'd be a little hard to make him into a ornament or something hanging. So
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I think I might do a magnet, and then that's, it's a like good a idea. Seasonal little refrigerator decoration, which
yeah.
So
I love it. I don't have any. I feel like my kid would just like reach for them. So maybe like in a few years, I will do some magnets. But until then, when I've got grabby hands.
Put them high up, the highest point of the
Yeah,
fridge.
But somehow he's like a Superman when it comes to reaching things that he shouldn't have. So maybe one day I'll work on some magnets. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm always trying to think of ways that I can display it at home, which is like a full topic for another day. But since we're talking about this one, you know,
yeah,
not everything has to be an ornament or something.
I'm impressed that you did. Did you have stretcher bars on that one?
I did. And I think this is another controversial topic, that you don't need stretcher bars on things this small, but I am also a person who pushes on my canvas and I will hold it weird. So yeah. It's purely for my own accountability. I mean, again, guys, this is small. This is the size of my hand. I did not need stretcher bars, but like they make me feel more comfortable.
I have to have them because I don't know. Well, I think it's starting to hurt my hands if I don't have one. And then if I do, that's okay. Try to mute yourself so you can have a little sip. For the longest time, I never ever used stretcher bars. And then when I picked needlepoint back up, like doing it a ton after college and like in the late 2010s, like my hands were bothering me. So my mom was like, here, you're just going to have to use stretcher bars. You're like me. So I use them on everything except for a belt. I have to have them. So when people say you don't have to, I just... I'm like, no, yeah, I do.
I think you're one of the traditionalists, because you're like,
I am.
You're like, guys, use stretcher bars.
I did posted on my feed a year or so ago. I did I think it was a Hook and Harbor Harry Potter 9 3/4 like trolley, like train trolley. And
yes.
I was like, this is why I have to use stretcher bars, because my entire, it's like completely tilted. It's awful.
I remember that.
I was too lazy to find them or go get them, and I wanted to start that immediately. So I was like, I don't need them. And then it's like a trapezoid. It's not great. Yeah. So I have to. But you're right. That's part of my traditionalist rules for myself.
Speaking of Harry Potter, these are the kinds of tangents, guys, that we're going to get off on this podcast. Ignore how I just said that. That was weird. we haven't talked about today yet how our girl, Professor McGonagall, the great Maggie Smith, has passed away.
Same Maggie very, Smith. Very sad. Makes me so sad, because she was like my last grandmother figure. And yes. I tell you what, it's always September. It's the Queen died in September. My own grandmother died in September. Dame Maggie Smith died in September. And Betty White died in January. Angela Lansbury, those were my five ladies, my grandmother figures, and now
they're gone.
Maggie Smith, I tell you.
Did you know, fun
breaks
fact,
my heart.
And then we'll get back to needlepoint. Kennedy is my daughter. I don't think I've said her name, so Kennedy is my daughter. She's four. She's the same birthday as Betty White.
Oh.
And I love that nice. For her.
That's so nice.
And Michelle Obama, which I also love for her.
I'm trying to think. I believe Patrick Swayze died on my birthday. So my birthday's not very, I don't know of anybody who was born on my birthday.
Yeah, well, you're cursed.
Patrick Swayze died on my birthday. It was really sad. Yeah, so I hate that Maggie Smith died, but of course, she's a legend and will always be Harry Potter first for me, and then Downton Abbey. But
I still haven't watched Downton Abbey, so Harry Potter
you should.
All the way from me.
Highly recommend.
I've heard that. I know. I'm going to add it to the list. The list is... too long. I'll get to them all at some point.
I know. I'm just a rewatcher now. I you recommend a show to me, I'm probably not going to watch it, to be honest.
Right. I'm in the middle of, obviously, right now, because it's fall, my 57th Gilmore Girls rewatch. I just finished a Parks and Rec rewatch. I just love a comfort show.
Me too. And currently mine is SVU. So same. a little. It's not so much comfort as it is crime and it sadness, but I do love it.
Mariska, well, you know,
Mariska Hargitay was a Kappa. So
and she brings me comfort. All about
so. Me too.
Yes, and she was a Kappa, which, in case you didn't read our bio, that is the sorority that we were in at University of South Carolina. That's where we met. So we love all of our Kappa sisters, especially the famous ones who don't know we exist.
That's cruel. That's true. They do know we exist because we're sorority sisters.
Technically, they can look us up.
Anyway, so back to Needlepoint.
Yes.
Today we thought we would talk about, and listen, y'all, we are not trying to do 101s because we're professionals or we know everything. This is just stuff that works for us. Kelsey is a newer stitcher who learned something most recently. And then me as a experienced stitcher, I don't want to say your experience, but you know what I mean? I've been stitching a little bit
longer term.
Longer. Stitcher, yes. Yeah. Thank you. But we put up a poll to see if anybody had any thoughts or ideas. And, oh, I should have gotten one of my ornaments with a French knot. Oh, well. Someone asked about... I don't have one on me. Someone asked about, I think it was like the basics of French knots. French knots and then the basics to basket weave, I believe is what... And then point them in the direction of a more... like how to do basket weave instead of, I don't know, because as I understand it with basket weave, one of my best friends who just learned how to do it, she was like, can you explain to me the poles and stairs? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never heard of, do you understand that?
I think the poles and the stairs make sense to me.
It makes zero sense to me.
But none. When you put in our show notes, New York to
Arizona to New York.
That makes no sense to me.
Okay. Right. The poles and stairs, I swear, she asked me that. And it was probably like, you know, when kids bring home their math homework now and parents are like, they look at it like it's like Egyptian hieroglyphics. Like they have, that's me with poles and stairs. Zero. I have no idea what that means. I guess it's in the back of the canvas, how the stitch goes. Because it's certainly not in the front. It's not.
Maybe I don't understand.
I think it's the back of the canvas. I don't understand. Anyway,
all I know is what it's supposed to look like and the way it's supposed to go. So I can do that, I guess. Except for the time that you called me out that I did. You were like, "You're not left-handed. Why does your canvas look like this?"
When you were going Florida to Seattle,
and I was like, "Nope, just turned it. Forgot we're going with it. It's fine." This is why it was just for me. It was just. For an insert for a jewelry box for me, so I don't really care.
Okay, well then rephrase it. Don't say that I was like, why are you doing that? I asked if it was intent. I was just like, oh, I didn't. Are you left-handed? I wasn't mean about it.
Yeah, you're right. You weren't mean about it. That was me. I don't have a ton of, we'll get back to basket weave in a second. I don't have a ton of French knot experience because I'll be a little bit vulnerable for a moment. I took a ribbon class. Last week, 2 weeks ago, during the Needlepoint Junction retreat, I went to the ribbon class because I have a couple of canvases over here, like this one, that I want to do the flowers in ribbon make this into a tray for my coffee table or for my ottoman. And then I have...
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, Your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I can't find the girl, but I have one of those floral dress girls as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, those are so pretty.
A lot. And mm-hmm. I want to do that in floral, or in ribbon. So I took a ribbon class, and the teacher was great. Andrea at Needlepoint Junction, she's an excellent teacher. But she was like teaching us a ribbon French knot. And she was like, okay, so then you just do a French knot. And I was the youngest person in the room by far, the least experienced stitcher in the room by far. And I had to be like, I've never done a French knot before because they have scared me. So someone teach me. But yeah, it was actually really not hard. I have my little sampler thing here. I'll try and hold it up. You can, like, depending on how much you twist, how much you wrap the needle around, like the bigger or smaller the knot's going to be. Mm-hmm. I would probably recommend the Stitch Vault on KCN.
Yes.
If you can find like a
YouTube. The Stitch, needlepoint.com has a YouTube video of a French knot. I would recommend the way, so back to the stretcher bars. I feel like with French knots, you have to have two hands.
Yes.
I feel like, so if you don't use stretcher bars, that's going to make it really difficult. And I would also recommend a stand. But I understand stands are really expensive and they're not in everybody's budget. They're just not. And that was a huge splurge for me like 2 years ago. So I totally get it. But it's best to have them. So even if you're just like using a stretcher bar, mm-hmm. you can rest it on your table. You can rest it on your mm-hmm. lap kind of deal, or even like hold it like between your knees. And then you can have your double hand. You can have both your hands to work on it. And then I also, consistency is so important with something like a French knot. So you want to use the same kind of tension in each one, and you want to go up. Honestly, I don't go up and back down through the same canvas hole because I pull right through it. I can't do it. I can't do up and down through the same one. I do like as if I was doing a normal 10 stitch. So like up one and then like completely like diagonal, like a normal 10 stitch.
I think that's what I did too.
Because if I do the same one, I'll just pull right through it. Yeah. I guess I'm pulling too. I don't recommend pulling hard at all, but sometimes when you want like a specific size, you have to pull, and it's, mm-hmm. I would just recommend consistency on your tension, and whichever way you stitch it, it needs to be the same way each time, and not, which is this really the case for any, for most stitches, I would assume is consistency is so important, especially in even like with beading and.
Right. Yeah. It also kind of depends on what thread you're using too, because some of them are smoother than others and might pull the canvas a little bit easier. So you really have mm-hmm. to watch that tension. Me saying that as someone who just practiced French knots for the first time 2 weeks ago, but in general, you know, whatever stitch you're doing, different threads, you know, are going to pull differently, and you're going to need to use different tension. So mm-hmm. That is definitely something to pay attention to. But as someone who has been scared of French knots for the past 2 years, I'm here to tell you that it was not as difficult as it seemed. It looks harder than it is, I think. And it's one of those things that if you practice it a few times, it'll seem pretty easy. So, or not easy. More manageable, and then eventually easy. But so I would definitely take the chance, because I think I have definitely shied away from some harder stitches and things like that mm-hmm. Because they seem daunting.
It's easy to do. It's really easy to do, just to be like, I'm good. I don't really, I mean, compensating is also like, but French knots, and also with French knots, they're really forgiving. If you don't like the look of one, you can take it out. It's really easy to take out and do it again. So that's, I like that about French knots as well, because they'll give you a really more sophisticated look, but they're, mm-hmm. once you get the hang of it, I mean, I have to take mine out often. Like, I'm not like whipping up French knots and just try one as the best, because I do take it out. a good bit, and they're forgiving, which I appreciate that about French knots.
They're for me one of those things that I was glad that I had someone in person, like mm-hmm. over my shoulder teaching me, which honestly is I think what I need for the cording sewing on. I was watching the Nashville Needlepointer YouTube videos, tutorials for sewing on the cording, and like I can see it makes sense, like her tutorial is so good, but I just couldn't get it to work. And I think again, like there are some things that just might be easier if you are taking an in-person class or you have a friend that already knows how to do it.
For sure,
asking someone in your stitch group to show you in real life, because I'm a super visual learner, and sometimes like the videos even, or you know, a guide doesn't help me get it. Like I need someone to be like, okay.
And especially if someone to say like, this is what you're doing wrong. You know, it's kind of like taking a yoga class. They come over and correct your form in person, but doing it on YouTube or on the Peloton, you don't know when you're doing it wrong.
You're like Joey.
If this should hurt or not, but I'm going like with it.
Joey in the Friends episode where he's learning French. And yeah. the video just keeps going, good job. And thank you. He's not speaking French. That is me trying to like watch a cording tutorial and do it myself.
Yeah.
I can't.
I had to watch a ton of videos and tutorials. I haven't taken a finishing class in person. I did buy the Abigail Cecil video class, which I thought was really, really worth it. And I love classes that online classes, especially because and on needlepoint.com, you can just go back and rewatch them as much as you want, which I've taken the needlepoint.com turkey work class. And I'm going to have to reference it this weekend when I try to do that squatty Santa turkey work, because I couldn't just like do it. There's no way. I'll have to watch the class again.
That's another one I'm scared of, but maybe I'll do it one day.
I will admit that's a little, that one's intimidating.
You know,
it is, but you can do it. It's just, it's intimidating. I don't love it, but I love the look of it. So
it looks so good. I don't know if you, have seen, Hillary Fisk, Hiffy Makes on Instagram, mm-hmm. and Substack. Did you see?
I'm on her Substack. I had to sign up for her Substack. It's amazing.
Oh, same. I immediately subscribed, but did you see her stocking that she shared
mm-hmm.
with the giant Santa coat full of turkey work? It looked so good.
I know. I wish I had all my stuff's over there where I was originally going to set up, but I did a fox, a stand-up fox, and his tail is turkey worked, and he's so cute, and the effect is so worth
mm-hmm.
the labor and pain of doing turkey work, because it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure once you get used to it, I just don't do it that often to be able to just whip it up, and I'm going to have to go back to my class and
I don't think I rewatched
the whole thing.
I don't think I have anything I'm looking right now that would turkey work would look good on, but now maybe I'll have to get something.
You have to get a bunk. I don't remember if it's bunka or bunko brush to brush out the, so you do need tools.
I have one of those.
I do too. I got it when I did the fox, and that's the only time I've ever done turkey work. So
I have heard people say that curved scissors are helpful for turkey work too.
Yes, but for the trimming. It's good for the trimming.
But not a necessity. But again, if your brain works like mine, you hear that and all you hear is, okay, I must go buy curved scissors right now in case I ever do turkey work.
I'm gonna
buy all the tools.
You can get it like a 2-pack on Amazon for really cheap.
Oh,
I can
good to know.
Post that link, because it's really, I think I bought them twice because I misplaced them at one point. And then, so it's like $7.99 for 2 pair, and they're really good. They're really good quality. So
I'll have to grab some of those.
Yeah.
For when I ever decide to do turkey work.
You should. When you get to those stockings, you'll get there. You'll want to do like Santa's beard. I obviously teach their own, but I personally love a more clean Santa beard. And that's why I did for the squatty Santa. His beard is very clean. I think I did a double Parisian stitch. So I'm going to do, but for his cuffs,
furry. Cuffs look so good in turkey work.
He'll be so cute.
A nice furry look. Yeah, he's going to be really cute.
And then I went to needlepoint.com over the summer with my mom in Charleston, and they had fur pom-poms. So I got a few of those to put for his hat. And then Stitching Fox and Landrum had jingle bells. So I'll put jingle bells on his hat.
It's gonna look I can't wait. So good.
He's going to be so, I love it. I can't wait.
I think that someone, you saying bells reminded me, I think someone asked about picking embellishments and like beading. I feel like we should totally talk about that. Again, guys, we're not here at all pretending to be experts or like teach anything, but we want to at least share like the resources that we like. And especially we'll revisit in a little bit, like some of the resources that will be great if you're just getting started or you have questions, things like that. But, you know, now we've gotten off on this accessories and embellishments tangent. So I feel like we should talk about it.
Which I will.
You are working on this right
always
now.
Always talk about embellishments. I love embellishments and shiny. So I took my first beading class. I believe it was in person. My mom and I took one at the Stitching Box. And I know I mention my mom all the time, y'all, but she, Kelsey's my needlepoint bestie, but my mom was the first one. So she does all the good stuff.
That's fair.
Yeah, you get it. But we took I loved my beading class in person more than I did take one online. I liked it more in person because it was that same situation where someone could be like, so this is what you're doing wrong. This is how you fix this part. If you do this again, this is how you fix it. And then this is how you correct it, you know, and then do it correctly, so I recommend that. I really didn't start beading. The first thing I did do beading on was the Morgan Julia, is the spicy margarita canvas.
Yes.
And I'm so obsessed. And of course it's over there, but I'm not going to get up and go get it. I kind of want to though. I'm not going to. That was actually the first time I followed a stitch guide as well, was Morgan Julia's spicy margarita. Cause I really didn't know, I'm telling you, I basket weaved so much. And then I would venture out into decorative stitches, like I mentioned last week, but I recommend beading. So what I use is, I'll have to ask my local store. I'll have to ask Kenzie the kind of thread that she sells, but it's almost like fishing line.
I have it. I can reach for it real quick.
Okay.
Hold on.
I feel like I should have been more prepared. I don't have any beads on me. But yeah, I started with that. And then I also use, I think it's Sundance. I like that beading thread as well. If you want to use a colored beading thread, which sometimes people will recommend with, if your canvas is blue and you're putting on blue beads, you don't want to use necessarily white beading thread. You want to use blue. Yeah, that one. We'll post a picture of Kelsey holding it up. That's it. I used that for the first time.
Collection of Designs, and they have the Easy Beater as well. Guys, my nails are ratchet. I was going to paint them today.
And I was too.
There was no power, so sorry. But yeah, the Easy Beater is very helpful.
Yeah, it's like a needle minder that you put on your canvas with a sticky top so you can put your beads on it and then just swoop in with your needle and put a bead on instead of having to like use tweezers, which I don't think anybody ever did. But so I use that beading thread, the fishing line kind of collection. What is it, Kel? Sorry.
The Collection Designs, yeah.
The Collection Designs beading thread. And then I use size 10 tulip beading needles.
Yeah. I'm really good at showing things on camera.
And most stores have, I think that from what I've seen in different stores, they have the tulip beading needles.
Oh, you use size 10. These are size 11. I don't know.
I don't think it's probably, well, okay. See, that's where we are not pretending to be professionals. I don't know if there's a difference. I always use size 10. So I don't know if there's a difference.
I bought what they showed me at the store. So
yeah. So listen to the store owners and not us.
I was using these to sew the cording onto the ornament, really? Since they're a little bit more delicate. I will try any tip that someone gives. So if someone says a beading needle works great, I'll try it and see. And then,
and you also finish a lot more than I do. I don't finish near as much as you do. So what do I know?
I have finished every piece that I have made except for the belt that I have made for Scott.
That's crazy to me. That's amazing.
I just, I know it's an expensive hobby, y'all. And I obviously, when I make this tray for my coffee table, I'm going to get that finished. And there, I already have a couple things in my stash, like that I'm planning for that I'm going to get finished. But if it's something that I'm putting in my house or quite frankly, like a gift that I'm on a time crunch on or something like that, I'm finishing it myself, because It doesn't have to be perfect.
No,
I mean,
of course
not. I try my hardest.
I mean, you want it to be as good as it can be, sure.
I want it to be as good as it can be. I try my hardest to make it perfect, but because I am a perfectionist, but I personally just don't feel the need to send everything off to a finisher because A, I'm impatient. I don't have time for that. I'll be like, I want my piece done and I want it done now. I'm just going to do it myself.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
You know, I wanted to find some sort of way to, you know, some sense of affordability in this hobby because we all know it's so expensive.
It is. And
especially
there's no other way around it. And I feel bad when,
right.
I do feel bad when newer stitchers, they get sticker shock and I feel bad because I'm like, it is expensive. It is. And there's definitely ways to curb that, of course, but it's an expensive hobby. And
I still get sticker shock all the time, but don't come to me for tips on how to curb the expenses. Like self-finishing is the only way that I found that. And that is literally to partly offset the fact that I just simply cannot be stopped from buying canvases. Like I can't. If I see canvas that is new, if I see a canvas that I want, that's on sale. I don't make the rules. If it's on sale, you have to buy it.
Like, see, and that was me last year. And my stash was, I mean, it's still crazy because I've been stitching for so long, but
right.
I also don't need things in my stash that have been sitting there for 6 years because I keep finding new things and then starting, which I do have. I mean, I have old things. I actually found what was supposed to be a pillow and I might try to restore it. I bought this, I'm sure my parents bought it. It was I forget the designer. I'll have to post it and show y'all, but it's a Princess and the Pea. It was supposed to be a pillow and it's like, I don't know, it's probably like a foot and a half big. And I guess I was stitching it for myself and it was too big and I got bored with it. So I just put it to the side. I'm pretty sure my parents bought me that when I was like 11. And so it's old. It's like from 2001 or 2002. And I just found it recently. So I kind of want to, I'm sure I'll have to take out everything I did and then try to put it on stretcher bars and it. But I don't know what I need with a Princess and the Pea pillow, but I mean, old and it's vintage, I guess, at this point.
Nostalgia.
So yeah, it's cute. So
yeah, it's vintage. It's you know, it'll be a fun thing to have in your childhood. Maybe you'll have another baby one day and it'll be a girl. And
yeah, maybe
a really cute thing.
That's true. That's you got a point there. That's a point. That's a good point. I could put it,
you know,
hold on to it. Yeah. I know I don't want to get rid of it, but I'll post it so y'all can see it because it's the tape's coming off on the sides, it's all rolled up, but I mean restore is the best word to what I would have to do with it. I would have to restore it.
Yes. I mean, it can be a new project that you tackle.
Yeah. And it's 13 mesh, so it'll be quick.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing we didn't talk about. 13 mesh versus 18 mesh. Which do you prefer?
Okay. My opinion changes, I feel like, weekly at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, 13 mesh is great because it goes by so quickly. Like, it's so easy. It just feels so easy to stitch. I have been loving a lot of 18 mesh though lately because just the detailing is so good on 18 mesh. And also I just have a lot lately of 18 mesh ornaments. So they're really small.
So those go by like relatively
those
fast.
Go by quickly too, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
They go by probably just as quickly as a bigger 13 mesh because they are, you know, they're small. And so I love, like, with the smaller ornaments too, I feel like a little more accomplished sometimes because I can feel like, you know, if I'm going color
by color.
If they're
18 or 13.
If either one, but if they're 18, I still feel really accomplished because I can go color by color and like knock one color out and be like, okay, I'm done with all the pink. And then it feels like I'm making all this progress. So again, back and forth all the time right now. Right now, I think I'm loving 18. You know, it's funny too, something you don't think about with like how the sizes change on things. And like, I should think about this as someone who designs canvases, but that's why I have Bro from the Painted Stitch to remind me to check my sizing sometimes. I'm going to reference this Abigail Cecil one again. I painted the chart on 13 mesh because I was like, oh, this will be quick. Like, I'm trying to make a baby gift. Like, I want it to be quick.
And it's
but
huge.
The chart ended up being like 5 inches.
But it's nice. It doesn't, look that huge. It really doesn't look
it'll
like
it'll be a really cute door hanger. But I went to stitch it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to finish it, you know, with like the loop. Mm-hmm. So it's more like a door hanger than an ornament. But I went to start stitching it and I was like, wait, this is giant. Like 13 mesh was supposed to be my quick out on this. And
it's taking like possibly 5 inches as long.
Around. I should have just done it on 18 mesh. I might have been done faster.
Yeah.
So that's my rant about, and quite frankly, I actually like don't really care that much when it comes down to it. Like I'm not picking a canvas based on mesh size. I'm picking a canvas based on what it looks like and what I want to turn it into. So like, I don't care what it is, but you know, if I do a bunch of 18 mesh projects and sometimes I'll pull a 13 out just for a little palette cleanser, quick trade,
make it fast.
So that's my opinion.
That's good. I mean, I'm kind of a little bit of an 18 mesh snob, I'll admit it. But I didn't, yes, I always used to be like that. And then but if I saw a canvas that I really liked and realized it was 13, I would be like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And I don't even really know what makes me prefer 18 mesh, probably the details. I don't know. I prefer 18 mesh. But then over the summer, I stitched the Rachel Berry Gilded Garden series when I was in the mountains for Memorial Day, and I did all of them in like that weekend, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm done. These are amazing. And they still look really pretty and they had the details. So I'm not as much of an 18 mesh snob anymore, but I prefer it.
Right. Well, there are plenty of 13 mesh lately too, that has the details, or just like in general, like the LePont Christmas Village, that's all 13 mesh. And like those details are lovely. And I think 13 is good for those because they are a little bit bigger. So if you're making them into like a stand up for a Christmas village, you want it to stand out. It's funny. It's because it's such a personal preference. And like, my preference might be, I prefer 18 mesh because it's Monday and then 13 mesh because it's Friday. Like there's literally no reason behind it. I'm like looking up here. I think most of my stash right now is 18 mesh, but it just happens to be the designs that I've gravitated towards.
What I've done recently, most of my stuff that I've done, I'd have to go back through. I can't even remember. Most of my stuff's 18, but I don't turn my nose up at 13 if I like the canvas. I prefer 18, but personally, also because I do a lot of sparkly thread and I find that 13 doesn't have as much. It's not as good coverage and.
Or as many options.
Not as many options. And the details just aren't as there as 18.
Yes. And I'm the same. I use a sparkly thread in probably 80% of my projects, at least, because I just love them. They look so good. That's the availability for fibers for that is better for 18. So
we should also say, if there are new stitchers listening to us, 18 is a smaller canvas, 8 per inch. So it's smaller. So it's 13 is larger. So I don't think
we clarified at the very beginning. Guys,
I know
we mean when we say we are not here to pretend to teach you.
No, we're here to chat.
we can teach you about what's in our project bags at all times, and what tools are helpful to get started. I mean,
ooh, I do actually have my son's doctor's appointment stickers on my project bag. My favorite tool that I recently started to use is, I keep it in the package, but is the Snag Nabbit. Have to have it with me always. So these are great if
I love the
loose threads get pulled through and you need to pull them back down so they're not seen. Very quick, very simple.
So good.
I love it. Highly recommend.
Do you know where I keep my Snag Nabbit? Do you remember at Stitch Club at Force Acres many moons ago when, I forget her name, that sweet lady who was always at Stitch Club and made presents for everyone. And Meg. Remember when Meg made those little beading, little glass?
Yeah, the little
jars for needles and stuff. I keep my Snag Nabbits in there in my project bag at all.
What
times.
A good idea. Her little Circe that day. I love her. Yes.
So cute. So cute. What else? Show us what else is in your project bag.
Well, this is all my, I'm not kidding when I say I love sparkles.
What is this for right now?
My Santa, my squatty Santa. It's all my, and look, see, there's the Splendor I talked about getting, and I now know how to use it. Thanks, Mom. And these are all my, I got a ton of sparkle. That's all I love to stitch with. But I really want him sparkly because he's going to be out at Christmas time, and I need to now fix all
true.
So he'll be like glittery in the Christmas lights. Fix all these. So he'll be like glittery in the Christmas lights.
I am the same.
Yeah, see?
I'm about to start.
Shoved in my, this is my.
It's going to be all sparkles.
I love, is that, that's Jimmy Buffett, right?
Yeah, this is Saturnalia's parrot, but all sparkles.
Yes, I can't. And I'm also, I think, this is the Bella Lusso, I believe is the thread, is the brand name. I'm going to turkey work with this. Needlepoint.com recommends Bella Lusso for like Santa stuff, I believe. I might have misquoted that, but I know it's Bella Lusso. That's why I have it, but I don't remember if they just, if that's the only thing they recommend for Santa. I'll have to check that, fact check that, and let y'all know. I need to just like stop saying things.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We believe you. What else? Yeah. What else you got in there?
Let's see. Oh, of course, I have my laying tool, the best laying tool.
Yes.
So I didn't take it out. I got this at the Stitching Fox. And it's just, I have to use this for the Splendor. Highly recommend using a laying tool if you don't want your threads to get all twisted. And then sometimes people are like, oh, I use my fingers. And I think saw someone who said they used a pencil.
That is where we talked about last week that I am a big trolley needle girly.
Yes.
That's what I use instead. I'm so unprepared today, guys, because
I know, I'm sorry.
My stuff is everywhere. We were running all over the place.
I was not planning on being in my living room, so it's fine.
So I don't have a trolley needle, but it's one of the ones that it hooks on your finger. And my only gripe about the trolley needle is that I do have to take it off to lift up my glass of wine when I'm stitching because it is metal and it will make me drop my glass. So one day that's going to be my next project is figuring out fashioning something for the trolley needle that you can just keep on your finger and pick up your glass of wine, which is
that's a good idea.
Ridiculous.
You could do it with the other hand. Your wine.
That hand's holding my needle.
Oh, good point. Good point. Fair enough.
My needle is in my
right hand. Scott should just hand you your wine when you need it. Just put a straw in there.
Good sir, please. Give me a sip of my wine. My husband does a lot of things for me, and if I asked him to do that, he would be like, you are insane.
I wouldn't do it for my husband, so I can't ask him to do that for me, so.
you're like digging around in there a lot.
I know, I'm sorry, I was putting it back. Also, I recommend, this is the needlepoint.com cheat sheet for strand and ply. So if you guys have, you know, threads that you're learning for the first time, or you're just not sure, you know, berry velvet, vineyard, silk, all the good stuff. This is on their website. I'll put a link, I guess, on our story as well. Highly recommend this. That's what I keep. That's all I've got in this project bag.
That's very smart. I usually keep, again, unprepared because I left it out there, my project bag right now. But I keep a copy of Stitches to Go in my project bag in case I happen to be working on something and I want to venture out into not basket weave. I do keep a copy of that on hand. And then I also have the Maker's Mark is another really good book of stitches. And yes. I got the card set and I hole punched the cards and put them on a little loop. Put them on a little loop so that
it's like easy to
easily take that with me or easily separate my project bag, my big needlepoint tote. I have like a boat tote on my floor that has like all the things in it. And it is like just the most chaotic.
While you're doing that, I will say another good way to save money with needlepoint is the books are great. I have several books, but don't sleep on Pinterest. I go on Pinterest time for stitches. And that's a really easy free resource if you're if you need inspiration.
This is the deck. I hole punch them and put them on this ring.
Well done.
This is so much easier than the book. I have seen people too, though, take the book and take it to like a Staples or a FedEx and get the binding pulled off and get it spiral bound so that it's easier to flat, because the book does have like a binding on it. So I have seen people get this taken off, get it spiral bound so that you can lay it flat and it's a little bit easier.
That's a big book too. I don't have that one, but I like how thin it is, because I have some of the Merry Whimsical ones, and that those are pretty thick, so they're difficult to cart around. So I like
this
how
one is a great a little book. Bit thinner. It's very detailed, and I love that it's all in color, so it makes it like easier to see. And when she shows, like, she'll show how to like two-tone a stitch or something like that. But yeah, the cards are great.
I like the picture.
Especially because if you were just working on like one or two decorative stitches on a piece, you could just take those two cards or whatever in your project bag.
I would lose those so fast. I would. They'd be all over the place, like my whips and my needle minders. They'd be all over the place.
Oh, needle minders. I just ordered a new one. Obsessed with them. I have so many. They're all magneted on my cart over here. But other good things to have are a needle threader, in case you don't.
Yes.
And good scissors. These are Flamingo ones that Caroline from Atlantic Blue sent me.
I think they're so cute. They're so fun.
But you need a good pair of scissors. And like, that's, you really don't need a ton of tools to get started. Again, listen to me. I'm the person who thinks I have to have all of the accessories, all the tools, all the everything at once. And that will just make me be better at whatever I'm doing if I have all the gear.
I have seen people who say they don't need a needle threader, which is I have to have one or else it's not going to work for me. People just don't use it.
Cannot get that. Mm.
No, I struggle with the beading in the thread because you can't use a threader with the beads. Yes. And so it's very, I have to have a needle threader. So respect to those who don't need one, because I have to.
I would never get anything done because I would simply never be able to.
I'd be struggling the whole time. Yep.
The thread on the needle. Also controversial, but I do lick my thread.
Still I do too.
As well. Are you a thread licker? Yes. I am for sure.
Unless I just had a sip of coffee or something, I don't, because you don't want your thread to stain. But yes, I do. I am a thread licker.
Mostly I think with DMC though, because it kind of grosses me out to lick silk and ivory because it's so
like, fuzzy. Yeah.
So fuzzy.
Fireworks especially.
I don't like that either.
All of the sparkly stuff I will. Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
She's like, how dare She's you? Like, how dare you?
I taught you better than that.
But yeah, you don't need a ton of tools. Resources are going to be your biggest friend. We will share links on our Instagram of kind of all of our favorite resource links that we have found. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, we could talk about Needlepoint 101, but so many people have already made excellent Needlepoint 101 cheat sheets, guides, everything.
We're Penny more than happy Lynn, to direct you. Yes.
Right. Like Penny Lynn has a really great, really comprehensive terminology sheet. We've talked about the KCN Stitch Falls. They have lots of resources on their blog too. Needlepoint.com has tons of resources on their blog and their website. Depending on what designer you order from, they might include little cheat sheets as well. I actually ordered a canvas from Greystone a few weeks ago because I ordered the Wheelhouse Lover Bow Tote. And Greystone was doing Greystone was doing a Needlepoint friendship bracelet if you bought that canvas from her. So I ordered it from her. And her, not only is her packaging just like beautiful,
amazing.
It's amazingly
it's
done.
A piece of art in itself, yes.
It really is. But she includes this really cute trifold
pamphlet
kind of. It's small, it's like the size of a note card. It folds out and opens, but it shows basket weave, it shows continental, it shows tent, and it has like some of the tools you would need, and it's kind of like a getting started, like tips for getting started. And I thought it was so cute. and probably so helpful for someone who has maybe never stitched before. And if that's where mm-hmm. they order their first canvas from, I felt like that was a very nice touch.
It is.
Because
it is.
Especially because people don't need to provide resources. Like,
no, that's completely voluntary. It's super
nice. It's so voluntary. It's such a nice thing for them to take extra time to do that. So I really, really appreciated that little touch. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And I think it's really great when people, if you're just starting out, it's picking your canvas. That's really, first of all, it's a lot of fun. And there's so many, if you are like, you know, nautical, Morgan Julia has a ton of nautical canvases, florals. Who has, Penny Lynn has a lot of florals.
Penny Lynn has a lot of florals.
If you're shopping online, I'm a shop local. I just am. I mean, I admit it. I like to go to the store first.
Because it's fun.
It's fun. And I'm lucky because I have a ton in the Carolinas are all around me. So, because mm-hmm. I'm in the Midlands, so I can drive to Landrum. I can drive to, you know, Rock Hill,
Augusta.
I do miss Aiken store. Augusta. So, oh my gosh, I love Augusta store. And then Charleston now, and didn't really make it a lot to Eastern North Carolina because that's far, but I'm lucky to have a ton of stores around me. So mm-hmm. I always encourage, I prefer it because it's just fun for me. Honestly, being at my local store reminds me that I'm actually not at work and I'm there to enjoy myself. So that's what's fun for me about shopping at my local store.
It's nice me time.
Yeah,
for sure. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, to pick fibers, so easy.
Yeah, so you can see them.
Just like you, I need to see them. I personally, one that needs to see them.
My store's really patient. A lot of the times I'll have my 3-year-old, but he hasn't been since he turned 3 a few weeks ago, but they're really nice. They're really patient with him because he touches and I don't let him touch. I'm not one of those moms who's like, you can touch anything, no problem. But I mean, he'll run up to something and like the color and he, you know, whips it off the wall and Kenzie's really patient. Yes. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry chasing him around.
Mortified.
I know. I hate it, but we actually, we learned to play I Spy at the needlepoint store and that keeps him busy. I get a good 10 minutes. I have to know what I need to get and I have to get it quickly, but I get a good 10 minutes with him playing I Spy with all the beautiful canvases on the wall. So
smart.
I'm not much of a mom hacker, but that's a decent hack that I've learned.
All right. So pro tip, if you bring your kid to the needlepoint store, bring your kid,
play I Spy and... Yeah,
mine likes to help do the shopping. So I let her hold because she wants to touch everything. Once I pick a fiber, I'm like, okay, you gotta hold this for me so we can buy it.
Please don't drop it.
She likes to hold them all, and she likes to bring them up to the counter and like put them on the counter and like check out. So sometimes mm-hmm. I'll like give her the credit card to hand over because there she loves to like. Hey,
to buy it.
Like, babe, you got your wallet over here?
Yeah. It's good for boys and girls. My son, he's like, we're going to go to the needlepoint store. And I'm like, heck yeah, bud, let's go. So
yeah,
he loves all the colors and the pictures. And like I said, the ladies at my store, they're so nice and so patient with him, which is, I'm super grateful because I'm sure you're like, oh, great. Here comes a little kid. But
I was so nervous the first time that I brought her to a store, and my first time was at Forest Acres as well, and again they're so nice. And again, I mentioned last week Needlepoint Junction is always so nice when I have her in the store, like they love her. But the first time I was bringing her into a store, I was so nervous because you know how like as a mom you just get nervous and overwhelmed sometimes I had anxiety about bringing her with me. I was like, can I even bring her with me? Is this appropriate? Like, I shouldn't be embarrassed. I shouldn't be nervous about it. But like, I was like, oh my God, she's going to mess something up. And they're going to hate me. And they're going to be like, can you please don't come shop here again? And then like, that was what was running through my head. And so it's like, again, no one's obligated to be like super.
No, you don't. We're not asking
willing to have a kid to like,
no,
you know,
of course.
Right. But like, it relieves a lot of stress when it feels like a welcome environment and like they don't care because mm-hmm. I care. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to mess something up. She's going to like pull a canvas off a wall and rip it or something. And like mm-hmm. my mind just goes to the worst because.
I recommend playing I Spy. That I swear it gets me about 10 minutes. And then like I said, I have to be in and out, but I get about 10 minutes with playing I Spy.
That's quick. that's a quick
it's turn. You have to know what you need, and then you have to, yeah, for my
right,
my situation.
And that's the thing, like, I like to spend time in there, and I did, you know, when we would go together at Forest Acres, because it was still like 30 minutes from me, which is not far at all, but like, you have to,
it's a trip.
Yeah, you have to set aside some time to go. And now it's, my store, Nail Point Junction, is like 40 minutes from me. So it is like a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I try to go when I myself have time to go without a child, because
I prefer it.
You know, it's so much easier. And this is where my husband will always be like, oh girl, every time I make a trip to the store, because it always is so expensive. But it's like,
I try and save up.
Like, I'll go hit like 10 things at one time, because this is my time to go for my one time in like 2 to 3 months.
Yes.
That I know I have this chunk of time without my child there, that I can take this time and go do it. I'm going to make it worthwhile. I'm going to like get stuff for like a bunch of projects and things like that, because it's not always, you can't always just run in. Run in and grab something. Like, that's not always possible. So
I used to do it on my lunch hour. Yeah. I used to do it on my lunch hour all the time. And then I changed jobs earlier this year into where I'm not able to just like get up and go and leave. Truly, I leave campus because I work at USC now. So it's difficult because, first of all, there are kids everywhere. And second of all, it's not easy for me and what my job is now for me just to pick up and go. So, I have to set aside some time.
So
it's a weekend jaunt for me, but I am close. I'm very close to my store, which I want it to stay that way. I want it to stay that way. So I always go to my store first. I just always will. But it's because it's just a nice reminder that I'm not at work. I am in my favorite place, and I'm doing my favorite thing.
Right.
Yeah, I love it.
Right. No, it is. I do love being at a store because there's so much to browse. I love looking at the accessories. You know, you never know what you're going to find there, kind of, especially because so many stores are constantly like stocking inventory or getting new canvases in, things like that. Mm-hmm. But you also get lots of inspiration there, which I love, because I'm constantly looking for different ways to display my needlepoint. And mm-hmm. again, we'll talk about it, but like, you get so much inspiration walking around an L&S.
I mean, just people like picking up their finishing. Yeah.
Talking to other people. Mm-hmm. Like, someone will come up and be like, oh, what are you going to do with this? And I'll be like, I have no idea.
Yeah. Do you like this or that? And they're like, actually, I like this. And they're like, oh, that's genius. That happens to me all the time.
Which I used to think that you needed to know what you were going to do with your canvas, like what you were going to turn it into before you started a project. And I like wholeheartedly don't think that anymore, because I just want to like stitch what brings me joy and like hope, you know, the inspiration will come at some point about what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
I think I will say, for like your first project, it is helpful if you have kind of a goal in mind, because then you can what you're doing.
I also would recommend, I know a lot of people, especially with newer stitchers, they've seen a lot of stockings have gone viral. Have you seen that on Instagram? And a lot of people who are new to needlepoint say, I'm going to do a stocking for my kid. And I'm like, that's totally cool. And you can absolutely do that. I would recommend something smaller to start, because first of all, that's a huge expense to try something that you haven't tried before. Or if you're, you know, something that's, I mean, I bought a stocking over the summer, but I haven't even, it's intimidating. Like, a lot of people, what I'm trying to say is, I would recommend starting a little bit smaller with your first piece, because something like a stocking or even a pillow, something huge, is going to be, for me, it would feel very intimidating, and to where I'd be like, I don't want to do this anymore. I changed my mind. And that's
right. I feel like I'm not going to be able to do a stocking for a while, just so the sheer intimidation factor. Like, I am so impressed by all the people that you see on Instagram who we know have small children, mm-hmm. and who are like pumping out these amazing stockings.
I know.
I'm like, I am so impressed by that, because that is such intricate detail. It's such a lengthy mm-hmm. project.
Yeah.
Like, right now, I just prefer quick quick yeah. projects that I can mm-hmm. be done with. I feel like I need to have the time to sit down with a stocking. It feels daunting to do a stocking in like 1 hour.
I will say
like once a week.
That is probably something that you do want to plan, like the stitches yes. and stuff, and not, you know, wing it. My son does have a stocking. My mom did it, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And we spent mm-hmm. we do Christmas at their house every year. So the stocking stays there, but I have a picture. I think I have a picture of it on Instagram. She certainly does. But yeah, I've done mini stockings. I stitched two mini stockings for my friend's little girls. I think that was last year.
Yes, that was last year.
That was last year. And that was all basket weave and some beads. It was nothing. It was all basket weave and some beads, but it was pretty. I mean, it's sparkly yeah. and pretty.
Yeah, I would want to really plan out stitches, fibers, everything before I got started on that. I don't know yeah. if you follow Amanda Vogels on Instagram, but she is...
I do.
A stocking for her daughter right now, and it's so cute. Like her backgrounds just that she's doing like are so cute. Mm-hmm. I'm so impressed by them, but I'm like too scared to do them.
They're still. Super intimidating. And I mean, this is probably more the traditionalist in me, but I would say like for me, you have to have the stand, you have to have the scroll or the frame or the stretcher, probably the scroll. And it would be really difficult to do freehanded a stocking.
Oh,
in,
yeah.
In my
it's
opinion.
It's so big. It's, yeah. I mean, it's just big.
They're huge. Yeah. Hard you can get smaller hold. Ones. But the traditionalist in me would say you have to have the frame, the stand yeah. and the scroll.
I still have PTSD from doing a belt for my husband last year, which is like a belt is nothing compared to a stocking. But I don't know why that belt took me so
I don't either.
long to do. It took me forever. I was like, why this belt? I was like, I think this belt was growing as I was doing it. It was getting longer because it did not end. It
belts took take me forever.
Forever.
I stitched my husband, I think, 3. And I mean, they take me forever, but they're long.
Wide. Why did
I know.
It take so long?
It's just ongoing, and it's just
I was like, I don't think I'll ever be able to do a belt again. Give me like 20 years before I can do a belt again.
I know.
A belt is pretty repetitive though, and like plain, and you do have to do basket weave typically, so it'll stay tighter. And like
I would recommend basket weave on a belt.
Like, and like it's got a big background color, like
mm-hmm.
you know, it was a Atlanta Braves belt. So it was like the little icons, like the logo and a baseball and mm-hmm. Braves. But then you have such a long background. And I think that's why it took forever, because it's like one color.
Yeah. It's
for this
not
long. Whereas
I don't,
a stocking,
personally,
a
I don't
stocking
like belts.
Has more details. Like you can switch it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Belt is very monotonous. Like it's just, I don't know. I got over it and I had to stop and start.
I
know. It was his Father's Day present last year and he got it in like...
This year, spring.
No, he got it in like November. Oops.
Oh, well, that's good. That's the same year is still pretty good.
It was the same year. It's the same year.
The same year is still pretty good.
I started stitching it in secret because I wanted it to be a surprise for Father's Day. And I was like, this is never going to get done if I
yeah,
can only
can't
stitch
do it.
This in secret.
You're like,
so
sorry,
like,
happy Father's
surprise,
Day.
You're getting a belt. It's going to take me a while, but like, I got to work on this in front of you.
I tell you what, I mentioned the other day about how people made fun of me and stuff in college and like for needlepointing. I think I was needlepointing at my house one time. This is a quick tangent. I know we were running long. I was needlepointing and the guys were making fun of me. They're like, oh, you know, whatever. And then they found my dad walked in one time and visited and was wearing, my mom's done probably 2 dozen needlepoint belts for him. And he had one on and the guys were like, oh, I want a needlepoint belt. Lillian, can you do me a belt? And I was like, absolutely not. So,
no, because you just made fun of me.
Yeah, I'm never going to make you a belt and you're never going to get one. Not for me. So,
well, I feel like we have kind of rambled this episode. And
we have.
Again, this is how we talk when we're at Stitch Club. So
I think
it's
our first video too.
This is our first video. So we're sorry.
Yeah.
Don't
apologize. Write us off yet, please.
apologize to the Academy. If you're a giggler, you get that reference.
Good idea for a canvas. So.
I know it is. No one steal that.
So I'll be quiet.
Dibs.
I'll text you my ideas from that one.
I call dibs on apologize to the Academy. But yes, this will be our first video. We'll pull some clips out. But if we felt a little awkward, looked a little awkward, we'll get the hang of recording this on video.
And we will. We will. Don't write us off quite yet, y'all.
And again, we were very disheveled because of the hurricane. So sorry about that. Yes. Today was like chaos. We're recording this on Friday. If we didn't mention that the day the hurricane happened. Again, thank you for being here with us. And
the next one, I think we're talking about seasonal stitching.
Yes.
I think that was the plan. So
that's the plan. I mean, we're getting into fall. It's a great time to come up on some prime seasonal stitching. So
agreed.
Tune in. We'll put another question box on Instagram to talk about seasonal whips, and
it'll be fun.
We hope you guys join us again next week.
Yeah. Thank you so much, y'all.
Bye guys.
See you next time. Stop recording.